Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Going Downhill. This is Wendy.
And I'm Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
Good morning.
How's
Look
your
where
sleep?
We are.
Montreal, Quebec.
Montreal, we are together.
Yes, it's so fun. It's so nice to do this with you.
Yeah, it is. Actually, to see you face to face.
Yeah.
Like in person.
Yes.
Instead of just virtually.
Yes.
I know.
No,
it's amazing.
Fantastic.
I know, right? And the weather here has been interesting, to say the least, and we'll get into that.
We will, but I just got to say to everyone, this has been the warmest I've ever been in my life at Montreal, Quebec.
I've been warm because I've been spring skiing here, but by far this is the coldest place, one of the coldest places I have ever skied.
Yeah.
So luckily we did not have minus 50 degree weather. I don't know what that is for Americans, but...
cold. Really, really cold.
Frostbite weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not today, or yesterday.
Exactly. So here we are in Mont Tremblant. Let's talk about the men briefly because there's...
Okay, I think it's over now.
And we do know that the track was fairly soft even for a men's downhill. We don't know if that contributed to it, but we do know that that's also one of the other reasons it was canceled was soft track, snow, visibility, the whole nine yards. It's just not good.
Right. So downhill was canceled.
So that's the men's.
Okay.
So let's go to the ladies because the ladies are working.
That's right. Yes, they are working very hard here at Tremblant.
Right. Day one was an exciting race.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Especially for Canada.
Right. So there's a lot. It's a lot. It's a
it
really
was incredible.
It's a very big showing. So we're very happy as fellow Canadians to support ski racing, a little bit more of a population than you would typically get in Lake Louise.
Yes. It was like being in Europe.
Yes.
You look around, the people lined all the way up from the finish line, all the way up either side. The stands were absolutely packed and cheering from hours before the first start of the race.
Yeah, I'm blown away. Everybody's super excited. The fans were just out in droves, little kids everywhere just screaming for athletes. It was really nice to see.
Yes,
so
it was.
I'm sure that FIS is happy with
yes.
the event because now they've had two very successful events, the ski cross in Ontario.
That's right.
And then this one. So
yeah.
I think they realized that, you know, there are ski fans out here.
Woo-hoo.
And this is, I mean, it's so amazing to see, you know, these kids that never get a chance to see their heroes live.
That's right.
Actually go for it. And you can see, like, the little kids, like, their eyes light up. It's
yeah.
very sweet.
No,
so.
You said they were screaming for the athletes earlier. They were literally screaming. I'm not,
yeah.
like, I don't know. They were advocating for screaming of children. But it was so cool.
Yeah, if they were in a restaurant, it'd be a little daunting. But
calm your kids. Yeah,
all right.
Very
so
fun.
Let's talk about the hill here. The hill is Flying Mile, which I have skied many times, but they did change it, so we'll get to that. The start altitude is 590 meters. The finish altitude is 270, giving it a vertical drop of 320 meters. Our first course setter was France with Martin Jean-Noël, and then with our second course setter was Gregor Costomaille. Maybe.
Sounded good. Yep, you bet.
Slovenia. 45 turning gates, 47 gates.
Right.
46 gates, 43 turning gates on the second run.
Right.
First run, very foggy at the top.
Yeah, there was, we actually had to delay the start of the race due to the fog.
Fog at the top, and then probably three quarters down, it started to clear up a little bit. Really flat light.
Yeah.
Not
pretty
great.
Overcast.
Not great for those starting numbers. And then the course itself was getting a little soft. I was speaking to one of the coaches earlier that day, and he was saying that they were really hoping that it was either going to be really cold or really warm. So really cold means that they can prep the snow, inject
yeah.
it, do what they need to do. Really warm means that they can use fertilizer to harden the surface. When you get that in between, you can't really do anything with the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they got.
Yeah, of course it did.
So it got a little choppy at times. And you really see that. And we'll talk about that as well. Because the first kind of 10 bibs had a pretty good surface.
Yep.
And then the next bibs had a really rough surface, and you can see that in the results. And then we found out later, because we were wondering, like, did the snow happen?
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of later bibs, like, really
yeah.
popping into the top 30.
Yeah.
And that was mostly, we found out because at that point, because before the television break, they couldn't get the slippers out.
Yes.
And then when the slippers out, they smoothed the ruts so they could actually get the ski, and they didn't have that rough ride that some of the earlier
bibs. That's right. And lucky for Canada, Britt Richardson was the very first athlete to go after the TV break.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Great. We'll get there. Yep.
So first run set wise, we have, it's not a steep course.
No, they had moments over some specific knolls that had some steepness to it, but generally it's not a super scary steep run.
No, this is a very undulating course. We have a lot of bumps and knolls and rolls and a whole bunch of other little compressions here and there, which makes it really interesting for a setter because you can really challenge the athletes. They really have to look ahead. A couple of, you know, they can put a blind gate here, or, you know, they can put a little bit more of a turn there where by which you have to like bring up that line. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun to watch, but not steep.
Not steep. No, but it was entertaining, and those athletes had to stay engaged right from the top of the run all the way down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the run. Let's talk about the athletes.
Okay. All right. So this is the second World Cup ever in history at Mont-Tremblant. The first Women's World Cup was 40 years ago, maybe 41. I was there. I competed in the downhill and the GS, and the GS run was on the exact same hill, except now they have done some terrain changes to it.
They widened the hill?
They did. They widened the hill and added some features in there.
A lot of people had thought that the Canadian athletes had actually skied this run before because they're from here, but they actually hadn't. Even the women that were from and skied Tremblant as their home hill.
That's right.
So you always
think home ice advantage. Home ice? Yeah. Well, it's not hockey again. Close enough. Home hill advantage.
That's a different podcast.
Whoopsie. My bad. Not hockey. There's the home hill advantage because you can train on it and learn the hill and all that kind of stuff. Well, in that case, it didn't happen for our Canadian girls because it was technically almost a new hill with all the new terrain in it.
Mm-hmm. Right out of the gate, really super foggy. Top 10, kind of a little bit easier run.
Yeah.
So
visibility-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so winning the first run, Federica Brignone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The 33-year-old superstar from Italy.
Yeah.
And Sarah Hector had she's a powerful skier.
Like, very just powerful.
Not smooth, but powerful.
Very strong.
And then winning third, Lara Gutberami, of course.
Yes.
You know, we obviously have Shifrin popping in there, Vlahova, like just the usual suspects.
Yep.
And then we had a couple of surprises, actually. We had Sofia Gudget, like all the Italians are always strong, right? But Valerie Grenier?
Yeah.
On the first run. We had quite a few Italians because of what we were saying earlier of the terrain being smoothed out after that or during that television break.
Yeah.
We noticed that there's a lot of attack from the backs here. Clara Dires, who was skiing well anyway, has seen her have some really good results this 10th. And then we have Kristin Lisdal from Norway, 58 to 25.
Yeah.
Cut her bib by more than half.
Yeah. Very exciting.
As a side note, sometimes coaches will be like, we want you to cut your bib in half as as a goal for this race, and it's total BS.
Yeah, it's just, don't know where that came from.
Yeah, that shouldn't be your goal.
No, it would never have been my goal.
Your goal would be like, you know, I want you to really focus on your upper body or like some one technical aspect during a performance scenario. To sit there and end result oriented is just, wow, way to set yourself up for failure.
Yeah. Hey, top 30 for results for her, getting in the point.
We're going to focus a little more on the Canadians on this one because we had some really good results here.
Well, we had two gals. They didn't qualify for the second run, unfortunately, but they're just getting out there, getting their start in the World Cup, and to get another start on the World Cup and get that experience is really important.
And then for the Canadians that made it into the top 30, we had Cassidy Gray.
Okay, let's talk about Cassidy for a second. How exciting, rock and roll, cowgirl line, right? Like, come on.
Cassidy is, you know, when she came down, we were like, oh, pretty solid. She had some really good things going on. And then she just hit a bobble, almost lost it completely.
Yes, not once, everyone. Thrice.
I have to say, her flexibility and yoga skills and her core strength are amazing. And talking to her afterwards, you know, we will actually, we'll cut to the interview. Maybe we should let Cassidy explain her run.
Sure.
Yes. What did you think of the crowd? What did you think of the atmosphere? And what did you think of the race?
I think I'm probably biased because everybody here is cheering for us, but this is the best crowd I've ever experienced in ski racing, period. It was so cool. And I mean, to have my parents, knowing my parents and my little brother and my aunt and uncle and cousin are in the crowd, it was I really like Tremont did an amazing job, and the weather did not make it easy on them. It did not make it easy for them to put on a good race, but they still put on a phenomenal race. So it was really cool.
So we saw you coming down. You had a few issues in the first run.
Yes.
Okay, made it very, very exciting. What did your parents have to say to in regards to your first run?
I think my coach and my parents told me I have to pay their medical bill from giving them, like, close to a heart attack. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I think for sure my mom was probably crying a little. My dad was losing his mind. I think I definitely scared a lot of people. I was almost not making it through the finish. So
yeah. Here's what I find amazing. You made quite a few mistakes, mm-hmm. and you could have given up at any moment, but you kept on going. What inside of you, even though you know you made some mistakes,
yeah.
what made you keep on going?
I mean, for me today, I really wanted to make it into the finish and feel the love here. I think I knew that my first goal was to ski the best I could, but I knew I was making it to the finish. I think it didn't matter how many times I messed up, I knew I was making it to the finish. So, yeah, that was important.
Well, you make Canada very proud, so congratulations on your race and best wishes for tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
So pretty amazing. I mean, like,
yes,
just
absolutely.
Scaring your parents like that as well. Like,
pretty cute.
Yeah, pretty cute. Very funny. So. Yeah. Yeah, good honor. Like, and that's one of those things where this is why you coach, don't give up. Like, she just wanted
Never.
To make it. She's like, I'm at home. I just want to make it across that
yeah.
finish line. And that's, she's like, from hell or high water, I'm
yep.
getting through that goddamn finish line.
And it was high water, and it was hell, and it was...
Yeah, and if you watch it, like, so squat at the end, like, almost on the tails of the ski, and
just
like... Just
hanging in there.
And it was just, the audience was just,
yeah.
like, the crowd is just cheering
screaming
and screaming,
her, yeah.
and everybody's doing their hands over their mouths, like, the whole time.
I think my hand was over your mouth.
Yeah, right. Just, it was definitely one of the more... I think the most exciting run.
Yeah, it really was. So good for her getting in there, getting some points in front of the home crowd. Amazing. Good job, Cassidy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we have Britt Richardson.
Britt. So it was so nice to see her mom here and her brother, freestyle skier. He's an amazing free skier on his own right. And having her out here to cheer her daughter on, it must be very exciting. So, yeah. So more points for Britt.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear what she had to say.
Here in Canada, this is the first World Cup I've done on home soil, so, and that my career best here just made it even more amazing. The crowd was amazing. They really raised the energy. I could hear them from the start, so that was just a super, super cool addition to this race. And yeah, it was just an awesome race in general.
That's fantastic to see, and congrats on the PB. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
The course itself, so lots of terrain changes, had to look ahead. Were there any parts that you liked, your favorite part, and where did you have some difficulties?
Yeah, it's definitely a different course than the typical race on the World Cup, so I think it was all about precision today, and there's no room for error with the long flats in the middle. And there's lots of rolls, so it makes it pretty challenging in that section. But overall, yeah, it's just a kind of about attacking from top to bottom and making sure that over the tricky rolls you have the right line. I think that was the key to today.
That's right. And then your team as a whole did really well today. What do you think contributed to that?
I think the energy from the fans. It was just like they raised the energy so high for us. And I think that having the comfort from friends and family here was just super special, something that we're not used to while we're over in Europe. So I think that raised the team as a general super high.
And I said hi to your mom earlier. So
awesome.
Congratulations on the race today and best wishes for tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. So there you go. From the mouths of babes, Britt Richardson. Congrats and have an awesome day today.
Mm-hmm. I found it entertaining also. We look at Val at the end of the day. I mean,
yep.
She did come in eighth. She had the early bib, so that was a bit of an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
She's skiing at home. Everybody thought that she would do well, and she did. So
yeah.
I'm just entertained that she thought that she didn't have a very good day.
Eighth place.
Yeah.
Well, she did get a couple sevenths earlier, so... comparatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
But she's got that little added extra pressure, don't you think, of being in front of the actual home crowd, her home hill?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we can sit there and see what she had to say about
yeah.
her run today.
Sure.
How do you feel about racing in Canada?
Yeah, I was so excited to have this race here, especially because it's Tremblant. It's my home hill. I've skied here my whole entire life. So it was a dream come true when I found out this was going to happen. And the dream is just... like, it's insane. I can't even get over it. The crowd here is amazing. They're all so happy to be here. They're all cheering for us, so extremely happy to be here.
So, a couple of difficult sets today. A lot of terrain changes, a lot of rules in there, a lot of got to have your line right. How'd you feel about your first run?
I was a bit disappointed with my first run. There was some good skiing in there, but a few mistakes that cost me quite a bit. So, not super satisfied, but it wasn't too bad either.
No, not too bad at all. Another awesome finish for you. Second run. So I know they had to add some terrain into the race course. Did you train on it last year where the terrain was changed, or this year?
No, someone was asking me this earlier, and I was like, oh yeah, we trained on it like the way that it is now, but I was so lost. Like, they hadn't added any of the terrain. So it was a big surprise today. Like, some people thought we had skied it, but we haven't. So yeah, it was easy to kind of get lost in all those rolls. There's a lot of them and they're all in different places. It was new for us too.
Good. So some of the tours, what was your favorite part of the course in the second run?
I struggled, I'd say, the whole way down, so I don't know if I had like a favorite spot, maybe this last part.
Prior to leaving the start gate?
Yeah, exactly. Hearing the crowd at the top, that was awesome.
Right. Well, we're super excited to have you here, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Val, maybe not as satisfied with her run, but she put on a heck of a performance for the Canadians here.
Yeah, she did. Then also, you know, we have, as always, our Croatian Zizi Lucic put in a good turn. And the thing that was really catching people was the knolls and the little bits and bubbles, because, you know, obviously it was a very technical ski. The athletes had to be looking ahead on this set in particular. There were some sets, there were some turns that actually had quite a bit of offset and others that didn't. So they'd be speeding up through a chicane over a knoll and then have to take more line to go and traverse across. So this actually caught up a few people, and they would have errors generally on one gate in particular, which was kind of mid-flat section over a roll. And then they would come down and be able to gun it once they came over the pitch, but they would be losing seconds in that midsection.
Well, even back it up, remember at the very top, there was a knoll and it was the fall-away.
Yeah.
And that was catching the first few athletes. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of radio calls going up.
That was second run.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about second run yet.
Whoopsie.
All right, well, let's talk about second run. What was about the fall-away? Let's go over that. So our first two
right
racers.
Right at the very top.
Auskashiden.
Auskashiden, goodbye. So, you see it on inspection and you did the best you can, but you really don't maybe sometimes expect that much of, so fall away. So the hill is basically falling away from you. So it's very important to have the right balance, the right weight on that downhill ski to hold you as the hill naturally tries to push you away.
Also, the natural inclination for a lot of racers is that you lean to the inside.
Right,
and
a
you
lot
have
of people.
To, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of, and we saw this with a lot of racers, is that the ones who came over and who didn't set up properly to really be on that outside ski had a lot of issues. But your natural inclination a lot of the time is to go in because of that fall away.
That's right. That's right. So we saw the first few athletes coming out and having some issues with it. And I'm sure radio calls were going up, going, hey, watch that fall away. Be aware of it. And as more athletes came down, very few got caught on that very top section.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With the mix being as diverse as it was for bib numbers, it was interesting to see who was succeeding more and who wasn't, because some of the top athletes actually had issues with that fall away, but just picked it up and made time elsewhere in the course.
Yeah.
So you really have to keep, that's the lovely thing about ski racing, is you never know where sometimes things are going to end up in the mix, depending on how fast you're on what parts of the course.
Absolutely. I mean, there's little mistakes made the whole way down, top to bottom. Well, who made the mistake where and made the most of it is always looking for that positive outcome from never giving up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we had the first athlete who really kind of nailed it and came down super strong, I think, was Thea-Louise
Schetterstund.
I always say
that was
right.
Good.
Yeah. So she came down and she was the first one where, like, wow, she really nailed that course and, like, really skied it solidly. Everything was confident. She was half a second ahead, like, at the first interval. So it was really nice to see. Okay, well, now this course is going places.
Yeah.
We were a little worried for a minute there.
Yes, we were. But it's nonstop action. That's the thing. Like, it's nonstop. You might make it through a section and go, oh, phew, I made it through there. And then, boom, there's a little mini compression with a turn and a knoll and it's...
Yeah, we had a couple of boot touches where people were knocking boots and
knocking boots.
Yeah, so a couple people took out flags.
Yes, with faces.
Yes, there was a nice one of the
Italian girls.
Just took out the one of the, I think it was the inside turning gate
it
with
was.
Her face.
Yeah,
not Not optimal technique there.
No. I don't think she waxed her nose for that one.
No, definitely not. I mean, interesting, and yet, I mean, day one, our results are Frederica Brignone, the oldest woman to win a GS, yes. 33 years old.
Congratulations.
Exactly. Yep. And then Petra Vlahova, shocker.
Wow, it was so exciting to watch these last, like the top five, hey?
Oh, I know, because you also didn't know at what part of the course they would be picking up speed or not, so it was really
and where they're
going to
make that mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Michaela Schifrin, third.
Yep.
Sarah Hector, fourth, and Lara Gutvirami, fifth.
Yeah, so Lara, I thought, my expectations were her to be a little higher in that top five, but just little mistakes, and maybe even towards the bottom, she maybe looked a little bit more tired, dare I even say that, than some of the other athletes.
I thought she was more conservative than tired.
Yeah.
Like she just, like everybody else, there was that midsection, and some people were very exciting, and actually I thought they were losing speed because they were just everywhere. But yeah. They actually lost time or gained time. Or,
right.
they were faster.
Yes.
Throughout the sections. And, you know, she just skied it really conservatively and really smoothly. And it's beautiful to watch. And as an athlete, you should watch it because being messy necessarily is only for, like, the expert that can pull
that's
it off.
The Bodhi line, my
but,
God.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, but when Lara came down, she just skied it really conservatively. It was really great, but it just wasn't fast.
Right.
So. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she got fifth, which, whatever, still gets her points.
Whatever. She has won two GSs, so maybe she'll get that GS Globe.
That's right.
But she's one of my favorites for the season to get it, for sure.
Yep.
And that, it's good, because, you know, for slalom, we have the Vlahova Schifrin show.
Yes.
So
close with those girls. So, Cassidy Gray, 24th.
Yep.
So, fantastic results, super excited, great girl, that has to instill a lot of confidence for her.
Yeah, it is great. And I'm going to actually help plug. She has a podcast now.
Yes, she does.
Yes, the Bad Boy Line. So we'll give her a little credit and say, yes, welcome to the podcasting world. Female skier to female skier.
Yay.
Nice job.
Yep. That's right. And next up was Britt.
Mm-hmm.
So
Britt was 15th?
Yep. Perfect. So more points for Britt. Like, this also has to help build confidence.
Yep, absolutely. And just for today, also with the hype, you know, a lot of athletes, you don't know if being at home is going to cause them to freak out and, you know, fizzle out,
mm-hmm.
or if they're going to, like, step up. And it seems that the Canadian women really were super excited. They were so happy and almost in tears when they came down the hill, because the crowd just went absolutely nuts.
It was amazing. It was, honestly, it was like we were in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people were videoing the crowd when the Canadians are coming down, because they just were going apeshit.
Yeah. Pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Val...
Grenier, eighth. So good results for our women. We'll and then we'll should we go over? Well, first we will thank Vogel, Marker, Del Bello, who we've met quite a few of our European counterparts.
Hi guys.
So hey guys, how's it going? Hopefully, thanks for supporting us and getting us out there and on the skis and all the great equipment. And then we're gonna also thank Freshwater Distillery for the gin we've been drinking all weekend.
Fantastic, thanks, Freshwater.
Hey, Wendy, did you hear that?
What was it, Shelley?
It was the approximately 15,000 people at the bottom of Tremblant screaming their minds out for the best racers in the world.
Pretty amazing to hear that.
It was great. The atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. FIS has been happy. We've heard reports that Alpine Canada's, you know, happy as well. I mean, you can't ask for a better time. I mean, it's the second most viewed female FIS race.
That's right, right behind Killington.
Exactly. Amazing.
Amazing. Good for Canada. Way to go, listeners out there.
One listener.
My mom again.
All right. So let's start off. We're on Sunday now, right?
We are.
And guess what happened to the men?
I don't know. I couldn't find the results anywhere.
I found the results.
Oh?
Yes. Nothing happened with the men. So Mother Nature has declared that the 2023 season is on hiatus. For men, they needed some maybe mental relaxation, maybe a massage, maybe pedicure, I'm not quite sure.
Right.
But the men were definitely having some downtime. I can't imagine how frustrating it is for them.
That's right. They really have been, you know, unfortunate weather victims and haven't been able to get a race off yet.
Yeah.
For speed.
I do feel really, really terrible also for the logistics side of things.
Yeah.
To bring all that stuff back and forth. I mean, we do know that the women's Norwegian team had 52 bags to check in. Yeah. And that actually increases with weight because of the size of the speed skis and the nature of speed and the safety. So you actually have more stuff going back and forth. I mean, I don't even know how big, you know, the amount of stuff and the amount of money being just, I would say wasted because it's not their fault.
Yeah.
But just unused and
without
any results. And then, and you know, these guys have trained all summer to get this going on and yet nothing.
Yeah, and unfortunately that is part of the biz, but how incredibly disappointing and weather-related again.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have an update on one of our skiers. So Brody Thompson, who had a bad crash, as we have spoken before, he is apparently, we've heard from excellent sources, is up and moving around and has a good prognosis, but they're being very tight-lipped and reasonably so. Usually with medical stuff, this does happen. They don't want to release anything unless people are confirmed about what is happening, because it's not fair to the friends and families when rumors are going around and so on and so forth.
That's right. So we won't spread any nasty rumors. However, it is nice to hear that he is up and trying to walk around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the women? Because yeah. They've been working hard.
Incredibly hard this weekend. Incredibly hard.
Yeah, but today was an interesting one. I mean, the morning, obviously, it was colder. The snow set up to be harder, as we've, you know, have reports from all the inspections that we kind of had fun, I don't know, how would
That's
you say
right.
it, like bothering people about?
Bothering people. So what was fun is from the finish line, you could actually see the start in the morning run.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was nice. So the vision for the athletes was way better than the prior day, where it was a little bit windier. I think there was still some wind, but it wasn't blustery yet.
No, and it was flat. The
yes.
light was flat. As
yes,
much as
was.
You could see from top to bottom, there was not a lot of sun to be had today.
That
is for sure.
Correct.
Yeah, definitely a little bit colder, but really good conditions set the snow up like nicely, because yesterday, as we know, we had some bit of ruts forming, and
mm-hmm.
so that wasn't the case today. It was really hard, and the volunteers put a boatload of work in today. We'll get to that for run two.
Yes, we will.
But the one thing I have to say for the first run, as we always like to talk about course sets, because they're
yes.
more important than you think.
Yes.
So today was pretty turny in the middle. There was a left foot fall away that gave a lot of the athletes a bit of a surprise and a bit of trouble. And the three last, up from the three last gates, there was a red. And that
yeah.
red gave a whole bunch of little surprises for us from all over the field. So it was really exciting to watch. You had to, just like in that middle section, especially for the first run, it was a bit straighter than you expected, and you could
That's right.
you could actually tuck. You saw Schifrin tuck the whole thing, and you had
she
to
did.
Risk the line a little bit,
yeah.
or you would be losing speed.
That's right.
You know, you had Schifrin, she was, you know, just smooth and tucks the whole flat, and that really paid off for her. Bessina lost on the flat. She was doing
That's
really
right.
well, and she just lost on the flat. It was amazing to see that happen. Poor Alice Robinson.
Oh, Alice.
Oh, New Zealand, so good. We yeah. really are rooting for her. She's the best on our team, because she's the only one.
Yes, she's amazing.
But she's,
one.
You know, she's really strong and she's really young, and I don't know what happened. And I mean, the random stuff happens, and she came out of the start. I guess it just caused an inside leg.
Yeah, yeah, she went inside. Yeah.
yeah, just coming out of the gate and the push, and like
yeah.
before she got to the first gate, tried
yeah.
to make up for it, but she went too straight to try
she
and
did.
Catch
and
up.
You
and
could see,
it.
And that's the risk that they are taking, is you're looking for that speed. Oh no, I made a mistake. I got to catch up now. Mm-hmm. So if anything, they push even harder, which could be detrimental or could be more of a positive outcome. We never know, because that's sport. But she did try to take some risks and unfortunately ran a little bit too straight in an area where she shouldn't have run too straight. And Elskeshiden on the next gate.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about Grenier.
Grenier, yeah. So she didn't seem super happy with her first run. She's been making mistakes in each of the race runs that we have had, and she made another mistake again today.
Yeah, it was just one large mistake, and she really, you know, she would have been definitely in the, I think, in the top three had she not made that mistake. You know, she just came into that bit of that role that we talked about with
yeah.
on that one, and just kind of lost it, didn't, kind of had to put on the brakes to make the next gate, but,
yeah.
you know, she did extremely well, considering. So, I mean, like, I would be happy with my run, but I mean, she was not. And she's been pretty self-critical.
Yes.
So, and she really wants to prove things for her fans at home, on home soil. That's a lot of pressure.
Grandparents have a house at the bottom of the hill. So they were there watching, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's watching.
Yeah. But that added pressure, right?
But, just grandparents?
Just the
grandparents. Just the
grandparents
were the ones that, like, you know, filled the cup
Grammy,
up that little bit too long.
Grandma.
All right. And, you know, let's talk about Britt.
Yep, Britt. So, skiing so well, so incredibly well, just charging, skiing with that confidence. And you know what? Ski racing shit happens really quickly. And unfortunately, I think she got a bit inside. Did she get inside? Is that what I remember? All of a sudden, she was just down. Boom.
Yeah, so she actually, on the final pitch, it was really exciting. She was looking to be in the top 10 for her time.
Yeah,
she's young, and she's, you know, she's bib 31, and she was to punch into that top 10 for her would have been massive. And like yesterday, she almost, you know, made us cry a few times from stress.
Yes.
But today, she did not recover. What she did is she just kind of got inside and loaded up that ski, caught the inside edge, and just, she ate it.
And just
kind of slid down the last pitch in front of all of her fans. And it was one of those things where everybody was cheering for her regardless. And she just, you know, gave the happy smile and stuff, you know. That's a bit heartbreaking for like everybody involved.
Even her grandparents.
Because that's all that matters.
Yeah. So disappointing day, but she's got to come out of this with confidence for the start of the season in January.
Yeah, and Cassidy?
Cassidy, holy smokes. So cute. So exciting to watch. Mm. She does make everything exciting, and she's skiing really well considering how young she is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that home audience for her is not a pressure problem. It's just like something that's super exciting.
Yeah.
She seems super happy with it, so good for her. She's from Invermere?
Yeah, Invermere, BC.
That's kind of, well, kind of close to you compared to me.
Well, is that kind of like in Ottawa, but not in Ottawa? I don't know. Not really sure.
Well, it's definitely not in Ottawa.
So good for BC. It's nice to see her coming out there, and she gives a good interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so as we noticed from before, we've been getting all the rumors and, you know, verifying a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes.
One thing we noticed at the bottom of the first run, no fluoro tent.
We did notice that.
Yeah. We did
indeed. What do you think's up with that?
Well, I mean, there is one particular gentleman who is on the circuit, and he was definitely absent. So it means that Fist didn't send it over for one reason or another. And that is a really curious... maybe too expensive? I'm not really sure. But either way, like, definitely we're not testing the fluoro on the skis.
Do you think anyone might have taken advantage of that fact?
Like, I can't even say. Like, that's...
Okay.
I mean...
Just wondering.
Who knows?
They're supposed to have one of those guys at the bottom of every World Cup. So I do find it conspicuously absent when he's...
Well, it is a 30,000 euro machine, so maybe they didn't want to break it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Either way, not there. Kind of curious.
Right.
But we noticed that after run one. Do we want to talk about the deuxième manche?
Oui, c'est ça.
Okay. All right. So one thing we noticed, it definitely dropped in temperature.
Oh my God, I was freezing when we came out for lunch.
And what else did we notice?
Well, humidity was up. The winds were definitely up. The fog kind of came in, very gusty, very blowy, could no longer see the top of the hill.
Ski racing is one of those sports where sometimes you don't get the fairest race out there.
Right.
Because we had pretty good, well, I'm not going to say perfect visibility. It was still pretty crap.
Yes. Yes, it was.
But it was better as the race progressed into your better results from the first run. We are having issues then with visibility and with more wind.
That's right.
And so does that equal a fair race? And that's an excellent question. Not our call. Fist said it was going to go. The results stand.
That's
the only thing you can say. You know, we've had people make comments before. We know Vlahova definitely, after the race, did a post where she was saying that it wasn't an equitable race.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a fair race?
No. I think to a certain extent, racing is racing. It's an outdoor sport. The weather is the weather. There's nothing we can control about it. But maybe some people got an extra boost of those little gusts of winds, and sometimes it went against other people.
Yeah, and definitely the visibility was an issue at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Like, the amount of snow coming down once you got into, like, the top 15, huge. And then that can also deal with the track can change as well.
That's right.
That stage. Like, especially because you have those TV breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So you just don't know because that snow is falling those TV. And as much as you have slippers going in, they're trying to make it as fair as possible. It does affect the racers.
Yeah, for sure it does. And it can be a mental game too. It's like, oh crap, it's snowing, or, well, it's my race, it's my job. I gotta reset and refocus and do the best I can.
I mean, on the other side of the argument, you can also say, well, that happens with light as well. A cloud will go behind, mm-hmm. or this cloud will go behind the sun. The sun will go behind the cloud.
Interesting.
I don't know what planet I'm on.
Is that east here? Is that west?
It's an Oort cloud in the universe. yeah, you know, the sun will go behind a cloud, and you can easily say that, you know, that affects, you know, the skier for a certain amount of time mm-hmm. because it gives flat light for that.
Yeah.
And so it is just part of the sport, but this is definitely one of those more extreme times.
Yeah, it was quite gusty.
Very Trombo.
Very, very typical, yes. At least it wasn't minus 30, but yeah, it was a difficult second run for the athletes.
All right, well, I mean, what do we want to talk about just the notable results, shall we?
Well, again, I got to bring up Cassidy Gray. Mm-hmm. Like, for her to come in and finish, what, 21st?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So she was 23rd after the first run. And she had the 16th fastest second run time.
Nice.
So that's pretty solid.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, for Val Grenier, I mean, to be kind of against what we were just saying in a weird
yes.
way.
Yes, yeah.
She had the third fastest run for the second run.
And it didn't look like she was really happy or, you know, thrilled with that second run. She looked disappointed and upset. She made a mistake. But I think when she goes back and looks and see the results on her second run,
yep.
to be third in that second run might be more satisfying.
Exactly. And she ended up in sixth.
That's right.
So.
And that came up from 11th after the first run.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, no one was having super clean runs. I mean, except for the top two, I would say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, like, the person who won
yeah.
was also disappointed and surprised that they won.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We'll get there.
Yep.
Yeah. So, in fourth place, amazing scheme from this young French girl, Clara.
Oh,
I think
dear.
She's one of my, yeah, she's yep. one of my new, she might have taken over Nicole Schmidhofer.
Oh.
For me.
She's your new Schmidhofer?
Yeah.
Your
she's
new
my
love?
New, yeah.
She's your new
yeah.
crush?
She is.
Aww.
I think she's an amazing skier, and her attitude coming in, like, she has the higher start numbers, but look where she finished. Like, fourth.
Yeah, she's young, and she's got a really nice touch on the ski. She's aggressive. She's pretty small.
Yeah.
And she uses the terrain really nicely, and that's kind of surprising to see considering, you know, who she's up against and where she's standing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
exactly.
The one thing I have to say for her also, just a generally pleasant person, very happy, very smiley.
Yeah.
Also kind of nice to see. Always
yeah.
nice to see a good attitude.
So she was in, what, 13th after the first run?
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up to fourth place. So
yeah.
she was sitting in that hot seat, literally the hot seat,
yeah.
for quite a while.
And
so good
she
for
had
her.
The second fastest run time for second run.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Really great.
Very exciting.
You
That's
going
to boost her confidence,
well,
too.
Well, considering third place, Schifrin was the 18th fastest run.
Oh, my God, in her second run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just definitely shows the potential, and also the potential under extremely difficult conditions.
That's right.
So, I mean,
yeah.
that is something to be definitely be proud of. Now, who was, you know, who ended up being second?
Well, Goot.
Yep.
Goot job.
Oh, please, Bernie. You know, so 17 seasons on the World Cup.
17, yeah.
She's got a lot of experience,
yeah.
so that obviously didn't really rattle her too much. She had the 12th
no.
fastest time, but she really made it up when she could see. So.
Well, it was solid. It was steady. She didn't make any major mistakes or anything.
No, but it was conservative.
So.
It was a conservative
yeah.
run. It wasn't anything that, you know, like you really stood out for you as being like
yeah.
absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, Swiss
steady.
Came through.
Yeah.
yeah. Just, that's it. And who's our winner?
Unbelievably, the 33-year-old, 33-year-old Brignone again, but she was super shocked.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
she was actually, you know, she had three other skiers or four other skiers come down and could have beat her,
yeah.
and they didn't.
Yeah.
I would be surprised as well. I mean, when you're up against the best in the world, and she is the best in the world. I mean, she won yesterday.
She did.
So that obviously proves in some matter of confidence.
That's
I don't,
right.
She just, you know, maybe that experience came in as well. Who knows? But yeah.
Well, sixth after the first run,
mm-hmm.
right? And quite a bit behind.
Mm-hmm. She is also the most winningest woman from Italy for GS.
Amazing.
Yeah. Huh. Bene. Benissimo.
Si. No.
It's si. It
yeah.
is si. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm like, oh, crap, is that Spanish?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, aside from, you know, some of the athletes like Vahova posting aside, like, and that
right.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a great event, and I'm super happy to be there. Thanks to Alpine Canada, they treat us extremely well. Thanks.
Yeah, it's fantastic. What a great job they did, and all the volunteers to get that race off.
Yeah, and we were hearing rumors. We did hear them. We're going to say
we
this
did.
Is a rumor.
Yes.
That next year, one of the women's speed events will be at Beaver Creek on the same course as the men. I don't know if they're going to do it on the same They said the rumor is that it's going to be the same run, which I brought up is going to be interesting because the surface for men's races is extremely aggressive compared to the women's.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know if they also are going to bring the start down or whatever. And it's not that I say that the women can't do it.
Right.
I am just saying that that is not what they're used to training on or skiing on or racing on. And when we get to world champs, it can sometimes also affect the women because they're on the same courses a lot of the time as well.
Yes, that's right.
So it will be interesting to see what happens there.
Well, it would be exciting to have another World Cup downhill for us in North America.
Yeah, absolutely. And that means, you know, just you can have some of the people that are coming in for the Killington and, trauma races and then just head over or vice versa.
Right.
And it just makes it also worthwhile, I think, for the venues.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's already set up, so go for it.
Exactly. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I think I'm good. I think that, I'm good.
Yeah, no more notes?
No more notes.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing.
We're good.
So, I think it's time for us to get some sleep.
Yes, please. Oh, my God.
As you can hear, that Wendy is the pinnacle of health.
I was doing okay until my trip out here. It friggin' killed me. I love Quebec, but, you know, the trip out was a little long.
Aw, Muffin. Now you know how it feels.
Girl, I survived the trip. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Yep. It was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, Porter Airlines.
Or not.
Anyway.
Right.
So, for this episode,
I've been Wendy.
And I've been Shelley. Keep your tips up.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Don't worry, Rach. I got this. I'm a professional.
God. Anyway, yeah. So, interesting fact. Is it cost?